EOTM Radio. Entrepreneurs on the move, reshaping life for a better tomorrow.
What it do, y'all, and what's up? What's going on? This your boy, T'Angelo, and you are tuned in to Love, Dance, and Hate in Between Them. Yo, what's going on out there? This is your boy, T'Angelo, and we are about to have a blast tonight here on Love, Dance, and Hate Between Them. You know, the spot we try to discuss everything from pop culture, you know, celebrity Hollywood style, goal setting, and, you know, making sure we get our career life, higher education on, and basically living life to the fullest, you know, just making sure we do what the best we can do. All right. Anyway, you guys, really quickly, I want to go ahead and give a shout out to a really great coworker and have become a good friend as well. She is currently taking her career onto a new place, into new things, so we won't be able to work together currently. So Jennifer, my girl, I won't say her last name, a blaster like that, but Jennifer, babe, I really do wish you the best success with your recent new career change, you know, stepping onto the big and better. You got to do that. You know, it's always about upward momentum. So, Jennifer, God bless, Godspeed, and I'm sure you'll do great. And I can't wait to see the better things that you do with the makeup world. You know, we'll have to work together. We're going to do a production and work together. Okay, that's what we'll have to do. So, you guys, for today's show, you know, we have a good handful of topics, things going on inside the Celebrity Hub. I don't know if you guys heard about this. I know I had missed it at first, but it became this big old celebrity death once again. This is getting ridiculous. It went viral that Will Smith, of all people, you guys, story is so ridiculous, but I'm going to mention it because it's ridiculous. Also, I'm excited, though, to talk about the top winners at the 2011 Billboard Music Awards. Also, there, our girl Beyonce performed, and some of the small controversy behind it, but no big old thing. We're also going to speak about Beyonce's latest track release off her new album, which is coming up. We'll be hearing that this evening. Also, there was a slight controversy that Naomi Campbell had with Cadbury, the candy company, and she said they had a racial slur she was really concerned with. So we'll hear more about that. And then ask the question, what is bad sex, and are you having it? We'll get more into that this evening. Movie reviews. I managed to go to the theater and see Hangover 2 and Jump in the Broom. I know, right? 2 in 1 week. I'm excited. We'll talk about that. Also, for talent, music artists, actors, and all that stuff, you have to get to the point in your career where you ask, do I need a manager? Well, tonight, we're going to help you find out if you're in that place of needing one. And then it's that time of the month where we speak with our buddy Courtney Smith, who will inform us of things public. Things political. So it's gonna be a fun night, you guys, definitely. So you're gonna want to stick around as we prepare for an evening of fun and random excitement. And we're gonna take a quick break, but when we do return, we will discuss if you're having bad sex, find out what the controversy is behind Beyonce and Hangover 2. We'll be back after this.
I'll roll up, shorty. It's your anniversary, isn't it? And your man ain't acting right. So you packing your dummy gear luggage up, calling my cell phone, trying to catch a flight. You know one thing straight, I'll be there, girl, whenever you call me. When you at home, that's your man. Soon as you land, you say it's all me. Cause shit ain't all G with him no more, you ain't entertained. Since I met you a couple months ago, you ain't been the same. Not saying I'm the richest man alive, but I'm in the game. As long as you keep it 100, I'ma spin his chain.
Whenever you need me, whenever you want me, you know you can call me. I'll be there shortly, don't care what your friends say. If they don't know me, I can be your best friend, and you be my homie.
try to stay out your business. But on the real, you're so obvious. And if you keep fitting me in your plans of fucking up, your man's gonna catch on to us. That white sand surrounding us. He be handcuffed and he should work for them officers. If you rolling, I got a spot where I could put you on this medical and send you home doctored up. You wanna rob with me cause you say that he boring. Wake up, you rolling weed, cooking eggs in the morning. And scared to spend this money, I know I'll make more of it. First you was in the sky, now you say
whenever
you in
you
orbit.
Need, whenever you want me, you know you can call me. I'll be there shortly. Don't care what your friends say, cause they don't know me. I can be your best friend, and you be my homie. I ain't gon' flex, I'm not gon' front. You know if I fall, then we all gon' stunt. Send her my way, she ain't gotta hold up. Whenever you call, baby, I'll roll up. I'll roll up, I'll roll up. Whenever you call, baby, I'll roll up. I'll roll up, I'll roll up. Whenever you call, baby, I'll roll up. No matter where I am, no matter where you be there shortly, don't care what your friends say, cause they don't know me. I could be your best friend, and you be my homie. I ain't gon' flex, I'm not gon' front. You know if I fall, then we all gon' stunt. Send her my way, she ain't gotta hold up. Whenever you call, baby, I'll roll up. Whenever you need me, whenever you want me, you know you can call me. I'll be there shortly, don't care what your friends say, cause they don't know me. I could be your best friend, and you be my homie. I ain't gon' flex, I'm not gon' front. If I fall, then we all gon' stunt. Send her my way, she ain't gotta hold up. Whenever you call, baby, I'll roll up. I'll roll up, I'll roll up. Whenever you call, baby, I'll roll up. I'll roll up, I'll roll up. Whenever you call, baby, I'll roll up. I'll roll up, I'll roll up. Whenever you call, baby, I'll roll up.
Yeah, what's going on, you guys? So you are tuned in to Love, Dance, and Hate Between Them.
In 2006, two unlikely friends became the heroes of Radiator Springs. But on their next big road trip, they're not only racing across the world.
Wish me luck.
You go get it, buddy.
Welcome to the inaugural running of the World Grand Prix.
They're racing to save the world.
No one can stop us.
Finn MacMissile, British Intelligence.
So mighty, average intelligence.
Welcome to Tokyo International Airport.
Listen, this isn't Radiator Springs.
These Americans are clearly master spies.
Oh, you've got to be joking.
Go, McQueen!
10-4, Mater.
I'm on approach.
Roger that.
There he is.
He's down the way.
Hang on.
Whoa. I knew I should have done carry on.
Cars 2.
Ka-chow! Sorry, lady.
Alrighty, guys, this is your boy T'Angelo, and let's look at what is going on in some key projects. Well, let's see here. For my college buddies, all the college students, as the semester comes to a close, the final segment of schooling starts to rear its ugly head. Yes, everyone, we're winding down to a close for those who are coming to an end with me, and, you know, I just had a math exam yesterday, and we have the final coming up, like, next week. Papers are due, in-class essays. I mean, this is that season where it's really cram time, you know, so we definitely have to stick it out there, you guys, okay? So for all the students out there, I know we're getting ready to let low and let go of the schooling thing. I know I'm personally going to take a trip out to Vegas and just chill and have a ball, a blast. Just a barrels of fun. So that's what I'm going to do. You have to hit me up and let me know what the rest of our college students are going to be doing. And to our college grads, woo-woo. And then also, you guys, I'm currently gearing up to work with a new dance team. I am. I'm really excited. We just finished actually kind of like, well, we're still in the process of finishing some of the business aspect of things. As we go ahead and get into the creative side of things, I'm really excited. I got a couple of choreographers who hit me up at TN, hit me up on the website or I mean, email, tnzo@eotmradio.com. And I'm really excited to work with Lewis and Alicia on this project. It is a good handful of dancers. I forget the exact number right now, but I have to call in some assistance on it because it's going to be a big project. The team is going to go to a national competition, and I'm really excited. So, yeah, you guys stay tuned, you know, keep an ear out on that. Also, I keep mentioning Jamaica Jams because we can't forget about it because the website is definitely underway. You have to keep your ears and eyes up and open for the details. It is definitely coming up. I just don't want you to forget about it. We are finishing that up, so you'll want to be in tune to that. And also, vacation planning. I know you guys, a couple of weeks ago, we did a segment on planning a vacation. Well, I'm now in the process of planning a birthday trip to New York. New York! Sorry, my voice is a little shot this evening. I'll have to get some lemon or something. But anyhow, so yeah, New York is where I want to go for my birthday, so I'm really excited in a major way. I have yet to have been to the Big Apple, so I'm excited. But to be real, you guys, I was looking at the pricing for the plane tickets, and can we say astronomical? The rates for California to New York are no joke. Might have to go to Hawaii. Who knows? Who knows, okay? But definitely some of the things that's coming up. So not too much, you know, still keeping it productive. EOTM TV definitely kept it hot. You guys will have to stay tuned as we get ready to post videos that we did with the Back House Party, which is a Kale Mitchell production. He puts on with a lot of great student and young youth dancers. Tommy the Clown and them were all out there. It was really a great event. And also the West Coast The West Coast Conference with our girl Mocha D, who put that together. So you guys definitely want to stay tuned because, you know, EOTM does it in a major way. That's just how we do. All right, you guys, so let's go ahead and get into this. All righty, you guys. So we're talking about movies. We're talking about big theaters. We're talking about where it all goes down for the weekend. Well, currently, we have Hangover 2. That was the film that I started off with, and I must say, hilarious. But Hangover 1, I definitely spent the entire movie-watching experience laughing. Like, I mean, literally, I had not had a film other than a Martin film that had me going from beginning credit to ending credit in laughter and sweating out the Jerry Girl. But Hangover 2 was just the same. Now, granted, it was a cookie-cutter version of Part 1, but the twists and turns really kept you on your toes and kept you laughing the entire time. In this film, I'll give you guys a little bit of backing behind it, a little insight, not inside scoop, but just this is what happened. Okay, so we have Stu, who's like a nerdy character. You know, he's the one who married the prostitute in Part 1. Well, in this one, he's getting married to a young lady whose family is from Thailand. And it's pretty funny because in the beginning, they did not invite Alan to be a part of the wedding in Thailand because Stu felt and was concerned that Alan would mess up the wedding and, you know, just be over the top. And you guys, Alan is the heavyset dude, you know, the childish-like one who is all the comedy. He has all the comedy going. Okay, so he wasn't invited to go. But somehow the rest of the crew convinces them to ask Alan to go. When they go to Alan's house to invite him, he's completely locked in his room and distraught. And his father tells the boys that he has been sitting by the mailbox for like the last few weeks or whatever, just waiting for his invitation to come because he wants to, you know, hang out with the boys, with the wolf pack. You know, and so he was really testing on edge. When he goes in, he has a complete attitude as only he can do. And when they walk into his bedroom, which is completely the design of a 15-year-old, and for you WrestleMania fans, if you look at detail, like across the perimeter of his ceiling, there's like, shelves full of all the different WWF or WWE characters. I thought it was kind of hilarious. And his walls are completely covered in posters. And in the midst of all these posters are like big pictures of the Las Vegas trip, okay? And they're tripping like, whoa, I thought you erased these. And inside those pictures, you see he still talked to Mr. Chow. So Mr. Chow's in the film, you guys, in a major way. Mr. Chow does not have a little small part, but he is about 75 to 80% of the film. Mr. Chow, of course, slayed us on the screen with different comedic jokes and his weird ways of jumping out of things, whipping off in people's asses and things. But I will have to say in common, one thing that did bother me about the film, that they used the N-word. They kind of threw the N-word around a little bit more than funny was for me. At first, it was funny. Mr. Chow liked to throw it out there because, you know, he's so urban or whatever, but then it kind of kept going. At one point, I remember looking at my friend like, aren't they throwing that movie, that word around a little too comfortably? And she was like, yeah, especially for them to be no black people in the film. I was like, yeah, it's still a social thing, and I guess I was just like, yeah, I don't find it to be acceptable. I kind of could have stopped at two of those, and we would have been cool, because after that, it just wasn't funny. It was insulting, if you ask me. But anyhow, moving right along, there is also the monkey. Monkey is hilarious, you guys. Alan is definitely a major fan of the monkey. He got mad when they made him get rid of the monkey. It's great. The one-liners are the funniest, and I was just asking while I was putting this piece together, I went to go reference to some of the film, and there's a scene that you just have to see because it's not funny if I say it, but he walks into, like, this monastery where the monks are, and he walks in and is like, is this P.F. Chang's? Right, not funny? Of course not funny because I said it, but when you see it and see the character do it, it's hilarious. He has so many of those. I mean, his character is just great. And then I wanted to mention just funny. Okay, you know, it's just so much I can't even really get into it. It's a kind of movie that you just have to see for yourself. It has many funny moments. It's unpredictable. You have hermaphrodites in it. Yeah. Yeah, you do. And one of my really favorite parts of the film is when they explain how come the city is called Bangkok and not Bangkok. You just have to see it. And I could tell you, but I don't want to ruin any of the major parts for you. So just definitely get a chance. You want to go out and see something really funny. It's a total great flick. More of a dude's feel, but females get laughs out of it too. So definitely check that one out. So second one. Jump in the Broom. I spoke so highly of this film before it came out, and I just had to continue with it because it held up to what I expected it to be, and even more so. It was really a great film. I loved the story. The movie dealt with some real-life issues, but not the same ones we keep seeing. You know, they dealt with, I mean, there was a Megan Good. Megan Good's in the film, and her storyline wasn't like the strongest, well, completely wasn't the strongest, kind of a C storyline, and I thought the movie could have actually did without it, but they were showing something with her character. She was a gold digger one, hot body, cute chick, only wanted to date the guys with money and, you know, flash and all that stuff, and she couldn't understand how come she couldn't find a quality dude, but that was the issue, and then she finds a guy who's a chef for, you know, people of stature, and he kind of looks at her, doesn't look through her, but look at her, not just at the shallow points of her beauty and her ornament appeal, but really as her as a woman. And so that was a cool storyline, because for some of the kind of younger women or people who are going through that. But on the grand scheme of things, I must say, first off, well, next I want to talk about, the whole cast looked great. There's one, she's like a model chick, and she has really natural curly hair. She's really dark, dark, dark skin, and she just was so gorgeous in every scene. I felt like, how did they get the lighting just right on her, because her skin always looks so rich. I love that. And then the costuming and the styling was just really well done as well. I mean, I just remember admiring the styling and admiring the clothing that they wear. I've been to a country club, and I saw how people in that social stature dress and what the fabrics that they wear, and they really captured that when we went up into the vineyards. So that was really cool. And then I also must say, there were no over-the-top stereotypes. I mean, it really was. We didn't get these whole, you know, black stereotypes. It just was what it was. Two different African-American families coming together, you know, for a wedding. Great performances. It was great examples, like I said, of how Black America has the working class as well as the upper class all come together. Bump heads, of course, because of the cultural differences and things of that nature, but that was also fueled by the fact that the families had not met each other before the wedding. That could cause some issues, but nonetheless. There's also the story where Angela Bassett's character and her husband are having, let's see, how do you put this? They're having an issue, we'll say, within the marriage. And they put a cute little twist on it that put it together and made it really great. And I kind of want to tell you guys really badly, but I don't want to because when you see it, you're like, oh. But there's this part where Angela gets mad at the husband. She lets him have it. And when it all kind of comes down and dust settles, what the ending is, it's not what you typically get out of a film. It's not what you typically get out of the movie. And I love that they did that because it shows such a stronger bond. And it made me embrace the movie so much more. So that was really great. I'm not really good at not telling movies because I'm trying. They told me not to give everything away, and so I'm trying, but I really want to just tell you everything. it was just great, you guys. I will also say Loretta Devine at one point is kind of going in on Angela Bassett's character, okay? And Angela Bassett is just who she is, a woman of higher social class with her economics, okay? And so Loretta Devine is completely the opposite, who speaks her mind at any given moment. And they're going back and forth, and she's end up telling Angela Bassett, you need to stop acting like you're so much better than everybody. You know what? You are black, okay? You are black like everybody else, and your family was a slave, and you guys, we were all slaves like everybody else. And Angela Bassett goes to her and says, no, I was not a slave. My family are not slaves. Honey, you are black. You guys are slaves. She's like, no, my family were not slaves. My family actually owned slaves. And, of course, Angela Bassett's like, Loretta Devine's character can't believe it. She's like, what? How are you going to sit here and say, woo, 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 you see her promoting that your family owns slaves? You all proud of that? And she looks at her and says, I'm not proud of it. It's just a fact of the matter. It is what it is, kind of thing. And to me, I loved it. Angela Bassett slayed the lines. But what did I like about it is that it embraced history. No, it's not cool that slavery was done. No, it's not cool that black people had slaves. But it doesn't change the fact of the matter that it is what happened. And how they delivered it, it wasn't like boastful. It was her simply saying, hey, this is just what it was. And you have to see that whole scene. Right after that happens, you have a great performance by Aunt Geneva, one of the characters there, who wasn't necessarily the most liked by Angela Bassett, her sister. But she does this great performance at the rehearsal dinner, and then give me a second to get into that. So before we do that, I'm going to tell you that the main character, what is her name? I forgot her name that quick. But the young lady, I have her name in my head. She, the bride-to-be was, had told God that she would not have any more sex until she got married. And she's holding strong to that, and her fiancé has, held strong with her. He hasn't, tried to get it. Well, he's tried to get it regularly, but she won't let him have it. And so with that being said, it had been about 6 months, if not longer, since he had gotten some. And so I almost said her name. Sabrina is her name, is a character. Anyhow, I'm sorry. Okay, Sabrina was the character's name of the wife, and James Taylor was the fiancé in the film. But Aunt Geneva comes in, and she decides to sing a song. And it's so funny, you have to see her, because she just goes, get up. Wake up. Well, that's the entrance to sexual healing. I want a sexual healing. Oh, I'm not going to do it. You have to see it. I'm trying to reenact it because I can see it in my head right now. But she has this gorgeous little gold dress on, and she does sexual healing. It is so hilarious and so inappropriate / completely appropriate for the situation. Again, you'll have to check out the film. You guys, Megan Good was fun. Tasha Smith, I love her. Mike Epps. Even Romeo was pleasant to see. I mean, it just really was cool. It was a really cool film. I will say the ending kind of dragged for me a little bit, a little longer than I would have wanted to do if I wanted to move around. But it's definitely a chick flick, if you ask me. But dudes, you will enjoy it, so nothing bad. You won't go with your boys to go see it, but, girls, you want to take your boo out to, see a movie with you, dinner and movie. That's a cute thing to see. So if you're looking for some movies to go see this weekend, here are a few that you might want to check out. Alrighty, so the number one movie in the box office was Hangover 2. Following that would be Kung Fu Panda Part 2. We have Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides, Bridesmaids, Thor, Fast 5, Midnight to Paris, Rio, Jumping the Broom, and Something Borrowed. If you are planning to go to the movie theaters, these are all excellent films that you'll want to check out, okay? So with that being said, you guys get into those theaters, pop that popcorn, put your feet up, and you definitely are going to enjoy yourself, if I say so. Myself. Anyhow, you guys, we're going to take a quick break. But before we do, I want you to listen to this next track coming out. I'm going to play. It's called Best Thing I Never Had. Who runs the world? Well, Beyonce does. The superstar just dropped another song from her highly anticipated album entitled 4. This next song I'm going to play is called Best Day I Never Had, and it is another cut off that her album that's coming out that always reps girl power themed like things, and she continues to do what works for her. This song was written by the acclaimed singer-songwriter Babyface. Beyonce's latest feature line, this song goes right in tune with the rest of the songs she has out, like Irreplaceable, Single Ladies, you know, other songs that kick men to the curb. And then last week, Beyonce unveiled the track at her unveiled this track. Her album will be out June 28th, and it also features a collaboration with Andre 3000. So you guys check out Best Thing I Never Had and hit me back with your thoughts.
What goes around comes back around.
entrepreneur on the move, EOTM Media Group has become the new voice for you. EOTM has the most outstanding public relations firm that will suit your needs as well as your budget. Thanks to EOTM Radio and staff, EOTM has climbed the ranks, reaching over 1 million listeners worldwide. Not only is EOTM Media Group mutually respected for its amazing quality, but also for their branding and marketing expertise. Everyone in the industry needs PR and marketing, so with that said, if you or someone you know needs PR or marketing solutions, contact Carla Barnes, Head of Marketing and Branding, at 213-290-3573, or visit her website at www.eotmmediagroup.com, or join her blog at www.eotmblog.com. What's that? You're interested in hearing a few live shows? Visit our radio page at www.eotmradio.com. Thanks for your time. This commercial was brought to you by EOTM Radio and Classic City Records.
What it do? What's up? You guys are tuned in to Love, Dance, and Hate Between Them, and this is your boy, T'Angelo. So, definitely hit me up at T'Angelo at EOTMRadio.com with your thoughts on the last track by our girl, Beyonce. So, moving into the next part of our evening, we have our boy, Courtney Smith, here, who's going to enlighten us on some of the things in the political world. We do want to try to keep ourselves abreast on what's going on in our nation. So, Mr. Smith, good evening to you.
Good evening, T'Angelo.
And how are you doing?
I'm doing well.
You don't sound as quite as energetic as I am tonight.
We'll
have to get some pep in your step.
We'll talk about that at another time.
Yes, we are on a slight schedule now, aren't we? So share. What is going on? I know I don't deal much, but I did hear a little bit about people starting to put their auditions in for the presidency.
That's a funny way you put it. Yes, Mitt Romney put in his nomination. His hat into the ring for running for president. You have Newt Gingrich. You have Tom Pawlenty, who was the governor of Minnesota. Newt Gingrich is the former Speaker of the House during the 102nd Congress. That was during the Clinton years. Sarah Palin hasn't officially announced that she was running for president, but what she's touring, she has a bus tour going on, things like that.
I'm sorry, isn't she a pop star now? I thought she was a media correspondent. I thought she was one of us. I was going to try to ask Carla B to see if she'll be a radio host or something. I didn't think she was so interested in politics. I mean, TV shows, I mean, that's almost laughable. I don't know. I'm sorry. I mean, how do you take a president serious like that who has a reality series? I mean, really?
But I think ultimately her goal, she never really wanted to be on main stage. When she ran for vice president, when she was vice presidential candidate, She got polarized in her mind, like, oh my God, this is so much fun, and I think that's what kept her in the limelight. She's learned a lot since the last time she ran last time she was in politics 3 years ago. So I think if you do see her at the debates and things like that, you're gonna see a total different candidate than you've seen in the vice president debate 3 years ago.
Well, I'm so sure. I mean, she's a completely different person. She has her own little celebrity now. So, I mean, in some ways, she'll have a better chance even because she has a following. I mean,
She's grounded now because, you know, Alaska's so far in the mainstream because it's so far away from the other 48 states that it's hard to grasp what the people think. And I think that's what she lost during the 3 years because she wasn't. People couldn't identify with her. It was like, I don't hunt. I don't do anything. And these women who she was trying to be her base wasn't gravitating to her. But now that she's let us in a little bit into her life, her personal life, you know, her family life and things like that, I think people are gravitating towards her more because she's not scared to say what we're thinking. And that's what, you know, a lot of people were scared about Donald Trump running for president because he's not afraid to say what most people think. And he doesn't have. He doesn't. Saying. Yeah.
Go ahead,
like, we think it. We think it, but nobody says it. And Sarah Palin and Donald Trump were the people who were saying it. Donald Trump has, you know, at some point said that he wants to stay in the private sector, so he's not going to run for president. But Sarah Palin actually talks. She's talking a big game. She's attacking Obama on every issue, health care, job, economy, things like that, which you need to attack an incoming president right now on those numbers and on those issues. But I think they're going to fall on deaf ears because the economy is turning around. Unemployment rate is down 8.9%. This is the lowest it's been in the last 7 years. So, I mean, unemployment rate is dropping rapidly. We added last month, we added 800,000 jobs to our economy and things like that. So I think the Republicans don't have a target to paint Obama into a bad corner. I think his report cards look pretty good right now.
I have to raise a question, though. We talk about Palin and Trump talking, you know, saying what's on their minds and what's on America's mind. But do you think they're able or willing to do this because they are they're more, again, personalities right now. They're not in the politics. I mean, you can do that when you're not a politician.
I agree with you. But ultimately, Donald Trump can do whatever. Donald Trump is more capable of doing it than Sarah Palin is. Sarah Palin structured hers as a structured message to the American people. Hers isn't off the cuff as, say, Donald Trump's was. Like, she's not cursing and things like that. But her message is tailored to the American people. Like, when she attacks a Democrat or the president, she attacks it kind of tactfully in the sense of, like, the Tea Party that got a lot of – they gave the House of Representatives their part to the Republicans this year she's tailing herself towards them. And when you rally a base, magic kind of happens. But I don't think in the long run, I think Obama's going to be here for another 4 years because – the economy is actually turning around, and you see some of the things that he is doing to make the economy turn around. And
now, you
at
said
this
he might
point,
make it. So you don't think that the people that you mentioned thus far, none of them will be able to pull more votes than him? Like, I mean, what's his name? Not Cochran. Mitt Romney.
Mitt Romney. Yeah.
I mean, he's pretty popular.
To me. He's the best candidate that could go against Obama and maybe make a difference in America. But he has a religious fact to overcome because he's a Mormon, and everybody's not sure if they're ready to elect a Mormon to the presidency, which I don't think that should matter because the separation of church and state, it doesn't matter what your president is, it's what he does for the nation. I think Mitt Romney is real well-rounded where he won't – his Mormon beliefs are going to guide him, but they're not going to be the deciding factor in his decision-making. So I think that's where America has to get over and say, okay, yes, he's a Mormon, but will he do what's right for the greater good? And I think the answer is yes. You look at the things that he's done when he was governor of Massachusetts. He done a lot. He installed a statewide health care program. He's a successful businessman. He has major ties to American auto industry. He's a great proven fundraiser. He's a religious man, but I mean, if you really want to put it down, he's a conservative. He's very conservative when it comes down to economic politics and things like that, and semi-conservative when it comes down to social issues. He's kind of a fluke in a Republican politics because he does sympathize with the American people. He says, well, We do need a national health care program, but we don't need it. We don't need the government to fund it all. You know, and you know, we need to find ways of doing that. You know, where Obama wants the government to fund it all because we need to have affordable health care. And Mick Romney said, we need to have affordable health care. We need to find ways of cutting costs and improving health. And if you look at how our nation's moving towards a lot of health stuff, the FDA changed the food pyramid to a food plate so that you can see, you can see your actual portions on your plate. So our nation's gearing ourselves up to be a healthy America by doing preventative stuff, by giving you programs how to be healthier, what to eat, things like that. So when the actual health care plan comes into effect in 2014, Americans will be healthier, and we won't be spending as much on health care.
Well, I guess it's an idea. Now, I don't know if you even know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask it. It's kind of political, kind of not. But I just saw Hangover 4, and he got shot in the arm and went and got stabbed. Hangover 2. I'm sorry. I said 4, thinking of the 4 stitches he got. But Hangover 2, my bad. Thank you for that correction. I just saw Hangover 2, and one of the characters got shot in the arm and got some stitches put in his arm, and it cost like $6. Now, how is it that some countries are able to give you $6 stitches, and if I get stitches, it costs me $45,000?
I think the $6 mark was an exaggeration, but the fact is that other nations could provide you with cheaper medical procedures and things like that, because first off, our doctors go to school for a long period of time, and they have a lot of debt, and they have high insurance, and then we do have a healthcare system where some people can go to the hospital, and when you go to the hospital, you see the hospital has to treat you. What winds up happening is the people who can't afford health care and who can't afford those bills put the burden on the hospital, and now the hospital has to find a way to make that money where stuff goes up and transfer that money to the patients who have health care, you know, people who have money to pay for certain procedures, things like that, where if you look at the gamut of health care, there's so many fees involved in. When you go to the hospital, you got the nurses.
Right, it's just a lot of extra steps. So we're not paying for just service; we're paying for quality.
Versus going to your primary care physician. If you go to your primary care physician and get stitches, it's gonna be less than if you went to the hospital. You know, you can get 6 stitches at your hospital and spend $1,200. Go to your doctor and spend 5 because the cost is different.
Well, we can get off that. I was just wondering because I had you on the phone. I thought I would raise that $6 question. So is there anything else that's exciting going on right now before we go?
I
want to ask you, okay, so speaking of politics, we had the whole, you know, Katrina thing go down, and the politics were very involved in that. What about this Massachusetts 7 tornadoes thing? Like, who all does this affect? I mean, I know it affects people who live there, but outside of that, economic-wise, how does that affect them?
Well, it will affect a lot of banking and things like that. I don't think it's going to affect the nation as far as transport and as far as anything like that. I don't think that's going to affect the nation.
Okay.
It's more of a Massachusetts I want to say a white collar society where it's schools and doctors, teachers, medical equipment, banks, things like that, where that's what's driving that economy versus, you know, like when you talk about Katrina and the oil spill, where seafood and things like that drives their economy, where and tourism and things like that, that's not what is driving Massachusetts. So I don't think it's gonna affect a lot of people outside of Massachusetts. Just like the tornado in Joplin, Missouri. I don't think it's gonna affect anybody outside of that. You're gonna have roads and things that are blocked for days, but
okay. Well, With that being said, I'm going to go ahead and let you go, but I'm going to ask you one controversial question. This is going to be a segment I'm going to deal with a little later in the evening. But I have to ask you, what is bad sex to you? okay, I mean, I can make you a little nervous. It's okay, I know. But I'm dealing with that topic tonight, and so I just thought I'd ask you.
I'm nervous. I've clearly had this conversation with you. But
now you're in public. It's a different thing.
Right. I think bad sex is a lack of emotion in sex, a lack of enjoyment. I think that's a bad sex. If you don't feel like
emotion,
and a lack of enjoyment, like definitely a lack of enjoyment. Like if somebody's not doing, if I'm not doing my job when we're in that moment, but if I'm not doing my job in that moment, you're not moaning or any of that type of stuff. You know, I'm like, are you enjoying yourself? You know what I'm saying? Like, is this good? You know?
So if you're asking that question, that doesn't sound good in itself. But
I want to ask the question, but in my mind, I'm starting to fade out because now I'm trying to figure out if it's good. Like, do I need to hit it a certain way? What do I need to do to make this happen? And I think that's bad sex.
But you're considering the other person, which is nice and swell and all that stuff. I'm saying for you, is bad because what? Because there was no emotional connection?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, there's no sense of like they're enjoying themselves with sex.
Oh, okay. So you need your partner to enjoy themselves. You don't enjoy yourself.
Yeah, like you know, it's a reaction thing. Like if it's real good, and you having a good time, and you having good, you know, because everybody's huffing and puffing, everybody's moaning, you know, like
everybody. Oh my! All right, go ahead.
If it's not, and they just silent and laying there, you like, yeah, I can't do this again.
Well, that makes sense. Well, I'm gonna go ahead and let you get going, but thank you for your insight. We'll have to do more on this topic later on this evening.
Okay. Have a good
Until
night.
Until next time. Good night. Alrighty, you guys. Well, it is now that time to get into the little spot we call Celebrity Hub. I love that last track. I'm sorry, guys. I was over bumping that last little. I be grooving like, oh, hey, y'all, and what's up? You want a party? I go to the club. Leave me alone. They're laughing at me. Y'all like it? Okay, so that's Celebrity Hub. So really quickly, you guys, I wanted to touch on this. I personally think this is, like, so not cool. This whole celebrities dying, going viral. We just had Adam Sandler online a little while ago, I mean, on the internet, supposedly dead a little while back. When I was going through some other blogs, I saw that Jaden Smith, a.k.a. Will Smith's son, had died somewhere. And then Will Smith supposedly died this weekend. It's just way too much. People need to calm that down. That's not really something you want to kind of take lightly. We really should confirm that before we just start blasting it so you can be the first one to get the story. But anyhow, really quickly, so actor Will Smith became the latest celebrity to fall into the death near the cliffs in a resort in the Northland. Stories flooded the internet stating that the Men in Black star had died while filming in New Zealand. The false report came from the outrageous fortune, outrageous actress from the fall who fell off the same cliffs, you know, a while back. And so the internet's hoax have plagued the five-star resort because this resort has had this happen to them before. Where actually someone did pass away because of some crazy cliffs over there. But
in the end, it wasn't true back then either. It hasn't been true. No one has died really like that. It's some dangerous cliffs, but they haven't died. So report came from a the first report came from a website that actually pulled stunts with false rumors. And so they said that Will Smith died while filming a movie in New Zealand early this morning, referring to May 29th. The preliminary results from New Zealand police officials indicate that the actor fell more than 60 feet to his death in the Karahi Cliffs while on set. Specific details are not yet available. The accident occurred at approximately 4:30 a.m. This is what they kind of said on their site or whatever. And plenty of folks on Twitter and Facebook started sending the message around that Will Smith had died. And some suggest that he died of drugs overdose, and some others said he had died while in his car accident. I mean, it was a lot going on with this. And I just think it's really unfair to the person because, I mean, this is a real person. You guys talking about died here. And you could put people in a scare and in a tizzy. And I went on just to kind of look at some of the blogs. You see people posting about how sad it was and how they wish it hadn't happened. They can't believe this. It was devastating, even if it's really real. I mean, I just think it's really not funny. So if you guys have to post anything on me, just don't say I died. I mean, like, give me, like, a third nipple or something, you know, but I don't want to have been dead. Okay, so just really unfair. And, I mean, other people back in 2006, Tom Hanks, they said he died there, while 2 years later, Tom Cruise didn't meet his similar fate. They said he had died there. The fictitious rumors went on. I think Jeff Goldblum, Orlando Bloom. I mean, it's just a lot of people who they said this about, and it's kind of really untrue. The fake story was later traced to, I think it said it was called fakewish.com, I think it was. Allegedly, I'll say, was allegedly traced back to fakewish.com, a site that services, again, fake news, and it generates and allows users to plug in a celebrity's name into made-up stories. So I will say before you take some of these things to heart, you know, make sure it's on a reputable news broadcasting station or website or whatever it is, because it just becomes too much. And then and another aspect of Celebrity Hub I'm really excited to talk about, the 2011 Billboard Music Awards. Yay, yay. So Justin Bieber and Eminem were the top two winners this evening. Teen pop sensation Justin Bieber and rapper Eminem dominated the night's Billboard Awards by both taking home 6 trophies apiece. Eminem won awards for the top artist, top male artist, top Billboard 200 album, top rap artist, top rap song, and top rap album, okay? He previously had won 2 Billboard Music Awards back in 2002 for the Best Album of the Year and Best Hip-Hop R&B Album of the Year, bringing his total up to 8 Billboard Music Awards in his career. His awards were not presented during the ceremony because he wasn't there. But Bieber, the Billboard.com fan favorite award winner, also won Top New Artist, Top Social Artist, Top Streaming Artist, Top Digital Media Artist, Top Pop Album, Top Streaming Song. Not bad for his first year at the Billboard Music Awards, would you say? Now, it's funny because as I was putting this together, all these new categories, listen to this, Top Social Artist, Top Streaming Artist, Top Digital Media Artist. I mean, these are really all new awards that weren't here like 2 years ago. But that's where music is now. That's where we're listening to it. That's where we see it. Someone like myself, I don't watch television very often. If I want to see a music video or something, I'm definitely going to refer to something online. So, hey, go your ways. There was a 6-way tie for second place as far as people who won the second place amount of awards, which would be our girl Rihanna, Miss Lady Gaga, Taylor Swift, Usher, Mumford and Sons, and Trio Cruz. Each of them went away with 3 trophies. Shakira, Katy Perry, and a couple others landed 2 awards each. So they weren't divvied up as across the board as you would like, but some people just killed the game, you know. The award show, did recognition to Beyonce and Neil Diamond for the Lifetime Achievements Award with the Millennium and Icon Awards, respectively, as well as presented to a touring trophy of U2. Oh, I'm sorry. Ooh, I'm messing up here. Okay, so the Billboard Awards haven't given out a Lifetime Achievement Award since 2007. And this particular night, they gave recognition to Beyonce and Neil Diamond with the Lifetime Achievement Award to them, one of them being the Millennium and the other one being the Icon Award, okay? They put a little video together that allowed other celebrities and media icons to just give their homage to these artists, and it was wonderful. You can visit billboard.com and see more on that. Beyonce also performed her big single right now, Rule the World, Girls There, which I thought was like the best performance of her career almost. When you see it, it has this digital screen that they played against or behind her or kind of across her or whatever. But whoever conceptualized the idea for this Billboard Music Award performance for Beyonce was very innovative, very exciting, a lot of fun to watch. I even had to have my mother pull it up online, like, Ma, check this out. It was great. So pretty awesome. And then speaking of Beyonce, it is her music video for Run the World Girls. They have these very intricate, amazing footwork for the first sequence of her video, Run the World Girls. And the choreographer Frank Gadsden spoke to MTV News about the creation of the movement and the two dancers who were responsible for it. If you see the video, the two gentlemen in the very kind of beginning who were doing the footwork and stuff with her, I tried to get the correct pronunciation of their names, but I wasn't as successful as I would have liked. But these two gentlemen are not from America. The dance troupe consists of three members, and only two of them were actually featured in the video. They said they went on to say that they saw something on YouTube. Frank Gadsden left MTV News, and he saw something on YouTube, and they had seen these three guys from this African dance troupe, and they said they liked it. They were completely wowed and amazed by the movement. So Gadsden goes on to say that because of this movement, they had always been wondering if they could find these guys. And when they had the opportunity to do this video, they said, you know what, we have to go find those cats who did that video that we loved, that we saw last year, the year ago that they saw the video. And from there, they talked about a couple of concepts on how to make it work. And so Gasser says it took them a team together in over 2 months to find the dancers because they lived in such a remote area. They even enlisted the embassy to help them track down the talented troupe. It's no doubt that it's an honor to have an international pop star seek your assistance, but Gadsden appreciated the opportunity to share the dancers' talents with the world. We say, share the light, you sparkle brighter. And we share the light with a lot of new creative people, and I feel like we really nailed it again. And my hat's off to the Tofu guys from Africa. I think that's how you pronounce it, Tofu. Because none of this could have, you know, this was such an intimate kind of thing that they had brought to them. They were really excited about it. So when I saw the video, I was like, wow, you could tell it was a style of dance from different countries. So, again, some more innovation on Beyonce's part. But anyhow, as far as Billboard Music Awards is concerned, those are our winners and top picks. If you guys get a chance, you definitely go online and check out the Billboard Music Awards because it was fun and entertaining. And then lastly, really quickly, while we're in Celebrity Hub, I want to mention the Naomi Campbell versus Cadbury. So this was kind of an interesting story that I wanted to share, and would love to get your insight on it because I probably feel a little differently than Naomi Campbell did. But really quickly, Naomi Campbell says that she's considering legal action in response to an ad that compares her to a Dairy Milk Bliss bar. A new ad by Cadbury Chocolate is leaving a bitter taste with Naomi Campbell. The supermodel is looking at every option available, including, again, legal action, in response to a promotion that compares celebrities to a Dairy Milk Bliss bar. Okay, so the ad reads, move over, Naomi. There's a new diva in town, and shows the candy bar nestled in diamonds. The campaign ran in supermarkets and newspaper in the U.K., Campbell told the UK newspaper and the UK newspaper entitled Independent, I am shocked. It's upsetting to be described as chocolate, not just to me, but for all black women and black people. I do not find any humor in this. This is insulting and hurtful. The star, who has been centered around a lot of different controversial issues, you know, everything from throwing herself on that maid and all sorts of different things. This time, she is being backed by the British organization Operation Black Vote. The group calls on the U.S. to help, you know, because the U.S. company Cadbury is crafted here, to apologize and is considering a boycott from the company's product. worse, Naomi Campbell's mom is completely mad. Yeah, if my mother's mad, then it's over. So, I guess the question is, do you guys agree? Do you think that it was rude for them to do that? Again, the campaign read, let me get the exact quote, "Move over, Naomi. There's a new diva in town," showing the candy bar nestled in diamonds. So, I'm interested to hear you guys' thoughts. You know, is that considered hurtful and rude and racial slur and all that jazz? I don't know. I mean, we're always, black people always kind of compare it to chocolate. I mean, it's not like a bad thing. A lot of people love chocolate, I guess. I don't know. I'm sorry to say, but I would love to hear a person's point of view who agrees with her and felt that it was derogatory and shouldn't have been said. Because I personally don't think it's derogatory. I don't see the issue. But I'm also just in my own sight. So if you guys have a thought and can share some insight on this, please give me a call, 718-664-6543, to let me know how that could have been, you know, saw in a bad light or an uncomfortable way where you thought it was disrespectful to black people. Again, at 718-664-6543. Yeah, so that's all I had to say about that. Oh, no, you guys go ahead and play that last track. That was great. Play that. I'm done.
Shuffling.
Thank you.
yourself fulfilling.
You guys, it's your boy T'Angelo, and you are tuned in to Love Dancing Hate Between Them. So now we have to raise the question, what is that sex? Now, where did this come from, one might ask? Well, I was talking with some people, like, randomly in line. Like, I was staying in line, and yeah, I just happened to go left at times. And dude was talking about his girl and how it just, well, not his girl, but some girl. He was like, you know, whatever. Okay, he's just like, it wasn't cool. He's like, it wasn't good at all. I was like, dang, I just wasted my whole night with this chick. And I was like, really? Well, if you spent all this time enjoying her and filling her out and y'all was divided and everything, y'all went back to the crib and kicked it, what made it so bad? What is it? What was it? And so, from there, I went on a search to find out, what is bad sex? Well, I guess this is a subjective question, of course, because to each is their own. You all have your different points of view on said topic, of course. But I want to go out and point out a couple of things that I discovered and have to agree with. So the first thing I had to go with was kind of where Mr. Smith Courtney was going to a minute ago, which was, well, he said emotional, and yeah, that too. It does definitely, okay, it has to be some type of connection. If you guys don't feel what they call chemistry, if you don't really feel the chemistry between the two of you, then you're kind of probably forcing it, you know. This one girl was telling me, as I had asked this question of a couple of people before I brought it to you guys to see, you know, what folks would have to say. And this one young lady explained to me that she had met this dude, and they went on date number one. It was kind of weird and quirky, wasn't necessarily feeling him, but thought maybe it was just weird because of the first time. So they gave a different date, second date. She said, okay, wasn't that bad. He was a little bit better, a bit looser. She kind of felt him out a bit more. Okay. Third date, she gave the kiss and said, okay. Fourth date, she kind of felt, okay, you know what? Let me give him a chance. The kissing wasn't bomb. She said it wasn't really anything to write home about, but she went for it, okay? Went back to the crib, thought, maybe I'll give this a try. You know, let's go for it. And she's like, it was horrible. She said, I wasted my time. I mean, I would have rather had no sex than have bad sex. That was another question I had to ask. We'll deal with that later. But I was like, really? What made it so bad? And she was saying, in her case, the scenario, dude was giving her like 12-year-old kind of, or 12, like a 15-year-old kind of technique here. When you're really young and you're like sexually active, I know 15 is kind of young, but that's when you start these days, you guys, so get into it. But, you know, you're just humping away, just trying to hump, 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 hump. I know, but that's what she told me, you guys. That's what she told me. And she was just thinking, are you serious? This could, that was, oh my gosh, did I really just do this? And so as he goes to the restroom and pull himself together, she's thinking, okay, let me just get dressed and disappear. He comes back in the room, cuts the lights off, gets to bed, and she was like, oh my gosh, I think he just asked me to stay over. Well, she felt guilty and like laid down and just laid there awake all night while he laid there, went to sleep, and she was just like, oh my gosh, I'm stuck here. So, bad sex story. Apparently, it didn't very go well. But anyhow, okay, so, chemistry is definitely needed. You want to have chemistry. I think some type of communication beforehand is definitely in order to see if you guys maybe are compatible. People don't like really like to have sex talk, like what we're going to do. That's what we'll do. But I prefer maybe to ask that person what they're into, what their interests are in that realm, if you're planning on going, taking a step with them. Because if you're the type of person who likes to take it slow, a lot of foreplay, a lot of questing, a lot of, you know, smoothing and a smooth ride with a nice ending, crescendo ending, and this other person is more of a put my head, throw me into the wall kind of chick or something, then you don't want to be, you know, in the wrong area. So I think communication is always key, okay? You definitely have to have communication there. And then also, bad sex is mechanical sex, okay? When you're, like, so focused on the technique and making sure you got it right and you're not really caring about what the other person's doing because there's a disconnect there, that's really bad. So you don't want to have that kind of going on either. The context has to kind of be there. You know, it's not really a verbal context, but you definitely want to, you know, kind of be connected to the person, don't you think? I mean,
I don't know. Like, I still need to, you guys missed, I haven't had this conversation with a best friend. I have to call best friend and get them on top of this. But also, if you're not enjoying yourself, clearly that's a perfect sign. Are you sweating? Are you out of breath when it's over? Do you feel completely rest, you know, like, you know, that's a sign that it was, you know, good. But if you're like, it's over and you're just kind of mad that you even did it, I'm sure it's a perfect sign that it was pretty bad. And, you know, definitely you want to make sure your partner's done well. That's kind of what Michigan was also saying, that he's kind of a giver in that sense, where if your partner's not enjoying himself, you're not enjoying yourself. There's all these different factors, you guys, involving this. And it finds out that a lot of people are having this issue because they keep having sex with people that they don't know. Hello? Stop doing that. Everybody's not into the same thing. And then in some cases, you have people who like, who wants stamina, who wants size and, you know, a lot of effort put in behind it. Is that considered bad because you don't have those things? It could be terrible. It could in a relationship here, you have to make sure you're compatible. So I want to go with this. Compatibility, communication, what's the other one? Compatibility, communication, make sure you guys are compatible. There is compatibility. All these things are necessary. When it comes down to it, I think that you really want to have a connection, preferably in a relationship, and just make sure that you both are going to enjoy yourselves, because you both should walk away with the kind of effect versus, this was completely worthless, and I wish I had just had a V8. Yeah. So I kept this completely PG-13, even though I didn't really want to, but I'll have to do an adult show later on when we get more maybe into these topics. Because I had a lot more interesting things to say, but they were like, Tianzo, you can't talk about, you know. I'm like, really? I don't know. I had more, like this whole part right here about using vanilla and some foods and outside on top of the car, things like that, you know? I mean, it'd make for a great experience. But we'll have to get into that, I guess, another time. You guys leave me alone. Anyhow, you guys, I've given you a few things to think about, so. Go ahead, go forth, and do, and enjoy yourself.
Are you excited for tomorrow?
Is tomorrow Saturday?
No, it's the first day of school.
Fuck my ass.
Ooh.
Elizabeth, you shouldn't be teaching. I mean, I can't think of anyone less suited to being a teacher.
Hey, Elizabeth, you want to, like, grab a bite sometime?
You still a gym teacher?
I am, yeah.
Fuck off.
Awesome. This went great. All right.
From now on, my full-time job is finding a guy who's going to take care of me.
Hi there.
Scott Delacorte.
Elizabeth Halsey.
I love how his eyes sparkle when he smiles.
I want to sit on his face.
So, did you and your wife just move to town?
I'm not married. I actually just got out of a relationship. She has such a big heart.
Enormous.
If I got a new pair of tits, he'd be all over me.
But they're really expensive, you know, per tit.
Yeah, and you got to get two of them.
We're having our car wash this weekend. Last year's car wash was $6,000.
Let's do this. It feels so good to help.
Lauren Risson's dad called. He said we should have a car wash every weekend.
That's bonkers!
Twilight, what do we talk about in class?
Don't throw at her. Throw through her.
Hey, fucker. Sign my yearbook.
Hold my ball sack.
This one is for the boys with the booming system. Top town AC with the cooling system. When he come up in the club, he be blazing up. Got stacks on deck like he's saving up. And he ill, he real, he might got a deal. He pop bottles and he got the right kind of bill. He cold, he dope, he might sell coke. He always in the air, but he never fly couch. He a motherfucking drip, drip, tell her all the drip, drip. When he make a drip, drip, kiss him on a lip, lip. That's the kind of dude I was looking for. And yes, you'll get slapped if you're looking ho. I said, excuse me, you're a hell of a guy. I mean, my, you're like pelican fly. I mean, you're so shy, and I'm loving your tie. You're like slicker than the guy with the thing on his eye, oh. Yes, I did, yes, I did. Somebody please tell him who the F I is. I am Nicki Minaj, I match them dudes up. That coops up and drops the dudes up.
Oh,
niggas in the mall goes. He can ball with the cool, he can sow loud. But I think I like him better when he's out loud. And I think I like him better with the fitted cap on. He ain't even gotta try to put the Mac on. He just gotta give me that look. When he give me that look, then the penny's coming out. Excuse me, you're a hell of a guy. You know I really got a thing for American guys. I mean, die. Sickening eyes. I can tell that you're in touch with your feminine side. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Somebody please tell him who the F I is. I am Nicki Minaj. I'm Mac and Doja. That coops up and chucks the juice up.
T'Angelo, and you are currently tuned in to Love, Dance, and the Hate in Between Them. So, boom, 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 baby. I probably just have to sing this playing songs that I'm like really into, so I can stop singing them, right? Not. So anyhow, you guys, do you need a manager? That is definitely a good question to ask. Where this question came from, as I am in my own career in the world of entertainment, looking at that question, like, is this a person I need to look at having? Is it important to have? Is it necessary to have? Do you need a manager? Or maybe just a casting agent? What do you need? So you have to raise the question and figure out if something that you need. And then you also, again, you have managers and you have agents. So, you know. Okay. Thinking. Okay, so let's look at a dancer's point of view really quickly. Does a dancer need a manager? And typically, not really. You can deal with just having an agent and kind of be okay. You can get with a dance agency, and you'll be pretty good. You get with a dance agency, they keep you working, they keep you moving. Well, they keep you going to auditions if they're really good. They can't necessarily keep you working, per se. That's up to you and your talent. But they will keep you in auditions and going to auditions. If you happen to be in the Los Angeles area, there's a slew of dance agencies. I'm a fan, personally, of a couple. If you happen to be interested, definitely hit me up at TAngelo@EOTMmedia.com, and I can definitely get you the information for that. They have auditions typically once or twice a year. And other than that, unless you know somebody to get you an audition or they come out to like to see you personally, that's the only way to have that happen as a dancer, okay? There's always different ads and stuff posted for when agencies maybe you know doing something during the mid area. But typically as a dancer, you just the agency, and they'll get you all the auditions you need. You're not going to really be doing enough to need a manager to manage your career if you're just dancing, okay? If you get to a choreographer could be a little, if you become very active, you would probably more so maybe need a manager. Again, you'd be okay with the casting agent to keep you working. The manager I would get if you start becoming a little bit more big time and start really doing a lot of projects where you need someone to kind of talk to their clients about your contracts and about putting a writer together of what you're going to need. They want you to travel and things of that nature to do these projects. When you get into handling
three or four different projects a month or, you know, bi-monthly, then you want to look into maybe getting a manager. We're going to talk about what the manager does here in a second. That's if you're a dancer or choreographer. If you happen to be a music musician. Again, if you're just ground-based, you know, doing clubs or bars and pubs and things, and that's kind of like your skill right now, then you can pretty much stay there. You don't have to really go much further if that's just what you want to do. You know, that's nothing wrong with that, doing a close, small, more intimate setting. But if you do plan on getting into more mainstream, or, again, not even just mainstream, but you're going to become very productive, then you could look into a manager, again, to handle the business aspect, because that's what they do. So let's question that. What does a manager do? Well, that's a great question, and I wish I had the answer. No. I'm sorry, you're looking at me. Don't look at me like that. I'm sorry, I thought that was funny. Y'all didn't find that to be funny? I thought it was kind of funny. I'm sorry. I'm trying to figure out where I wrote this down, but it's not sitting right here in front of me. Anyhow, okay, so for a manager is responsible for all things business for their client, okay? So if you are, let's just go with myself, a media correspondent, and you start getting into a lot of different media corresponding jobs, and you're starting to host things, you're starting to do club events, and you're hosting parties, or I'm covering the Oscars, or I start doing choreography as well. They're asking me to choreograph this. They're asking me to choreograph that. Then I have to be on set for this. I have to be on set for that. There's a lot that goes into all these things, and that's where the artist necessarily can't keep up with all of it, and sometimes they don't really have the mindset to do it. You don't have the business mind or the savviness to really weave in and out of those things. And when you become that productive, you don't necessarily know all the laws that go into contracts and what you can and can't do, what the client should and shouldn't do, protecting you with liabilities and things of that nature. So there can be a lot involved in all this. And that's when you realize you need to get a manager. So if you find yourself looking at contracts, you know, more frequently, or you find yourself wanting to deal with contracts when you do your shows and things, then that's when you kind of raise the question of, do you need a manager? The answer could be yes. You very well might need a manager. What do they do? Well, again, based on their client and what the client's needs are, we'll better assess that question. But again, I'm going to look at it from my point of view, and then you will just have to kind of, and I say my point of view, meaning the media guy, and I'll insert what I look at others and you apply it to there. But, okay, so first of all, they take care of the contracts, okay? They're like your mouthpiece. If you have a meeting with someone about you, let's just say I'm going to host an event, and I don't know, let's just go with, I don't know, Pepsi. Just everybody knows them. So Pepsi's holding an event, and they're like, you know, we want Chancellor to come out and host the Pepsi Challenge, I guess. I don't know. And we're like, okay, cool, no problem. The manager goes in, sits with Pepsi. They talk about all that they want to offer and blah, 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 how much they want to pay, blah, blah, blah. The manager then brings that back to me. We sit down and we talk about it, look at what I do and don't want, what I do and don't like, how much I want to get paid, how much I don't want to get paid, I don't want to live here, I mean sleep there, I want to sleep here. Put all that stuff together, then the manager goes back over to Pepsi, tell them what we want, they sign, and we're good. Okay? It keeps the artist out of it. Now, the most important part about keeping artists out of these things is if you don't have a manager and you've been dealing with this yourself, you'll come to find that people keep trying to get you for your money. They don't necessarily want to pay you because they feel that your talent is free, but they don't understand how much it costs to put this stuff together. Your publicists have to be paid. You have lawyers, you have managers, you have agents, you have costuming, you have choreographers. I mean, there's so much to put a person together, and people don't want to pay you for your talent, and it's really unfortunate, and that's why a manager gets involved to help with that. And then also when you get into contract signing, it's sometimes written in a different language that you just might not quite understand. Again, that's where they come in to help pull that aspect together for you. They organize your team. If you have the publicist, the lawyer, the agent, they kind of keep them all working, make sure they stay on top of their game, because you can't necessarily be as effective as an artist if you're too worried and concerned about the business of things. You need to be in the gym making sure your body looks right. You need to be in dance studios making sure your dancing is right. If you are a TV personality, you need to be in master classes learning the new technologies. You need to be in the studio working. You need to be making sure that the product and the brand is always at its best, because that's what you're selling is your brand is, if you're an artist, is your talent, okay? So that's what you're selling. It needs to always be on this top game, okay? If it's a new dance move out or a new style or genre, you would want to know it's coming, know something about it, but definitely be in the know. And you can't always be as effective as that if you're trying to figure out what lawyers doing, what the publishers are doing. You're trying to be online searching for a new job, you know, because those things have to always be done. And so the question of, do you need a manager? Well, the question, I mean, the answer comes from, are you productive enough to need one? Are you working so much so, or have the potential to work so much so, that you need someone to represent you in that style, okay? And when you get to that point, then, hey, you have to figure it out. You know, and we'll definitely do a show on the exact, you know, what managers do and things a little later. But I just want to answer that question of, do you need one? Because I had to question myself, do I need one? And it's just about your productivity. Do you feel that you're productive enough? Are you moving enough? And do you want to take your career to the next level? And if you found somebody who you feel can do that or can offer those services, then that's something you definitely should do. If you need more insight on this, I'm definitely going to do more on this. You can always hit me up, tangelo@eotmradio.com, eotmradio.com, tangelo@eotmradio.com. And I can definitely give you some insight on this, if I have a few things here that gives more in-depth details on this. Okay, you guys? So I just wanted to kind of give a few little pointers there, okay? Just a few tips. Other than that, you guys, actually, I got it here. My time's running to a close. I have a social event to attend. I have so much to do. Where's my manager? I'm joking. But you guys, it has been an excellent night tonight. I want to do more on this. I would definitely, school is coming to a close. So I'm really excited, not that school's out, but more so to be involved more with you guys, the listeners. I'm going to be looking forward to getting more in-depth information about the world of entertainment, because that's what we are, for some of us, love to do. And so I want to be sure that we are all out there being the best we can, be all that you can be. Weird. Anyhow, you guys, it's been a lot of fun. Courtney Smith, thank you for the insight with the political world. And you guys definitely continue to hit me up with the email bag. We didn't get to it tonight, but we had so much fun last time we did it. And so I'm definitely going to get back on that so we can have another gay old time. Other than that, you guys, my phone is actually going off crazy because they are looking for me. So I'm going to go ahead and get out of here, you guys. I'm going to play this last track by this girl, Adele. Her vocals are sick, and this song continues to stay in my head, so I have to play it as my closing. You guys completely enjoy it. Thank you to everybody who helped T'Angelo be T'Angelo. I love y'all. And until next time, I'm going to leave you with this. Dance as though no one is watching. Just live. I'm your boy, T'Angelo, and I'm out.